Now the message this morning will be taken from 1 John chapter 3. I began this last week, but anytime I do a series of messages, we're talking about the reality of true Christian love. That's what we're talking about. This is what John is writing of by inspiration of the Spirit. And anytime I do a series like this, I try to make each message stand on its own, but yet contribute to the main theme of true Christian love and what it is. The Bible tells us that God loves His children. We talk about, you know, many people, they'll quote John 3:16 readily, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life." Most people think that that's talking about some kind of universal love that God has for everybody, but it's not. The context tells us it's not. That's the natural inclination and intrusion of man into the Word of God. Well, we've got to think that way, some say, because that sounds pleasant, and that, you know, you draw more flies with honey than you do with vinegar and all of that, stuff like that. But what I want to talk to you about is the reality of true Christian love. Now, God does love His people. In fact, the Bible goes even farther than that. It says not only does God love His children, God is love. It's His essence. It's His nature to love. John wrote about that in 1 John chapter 4 when he talks about God is love. Verse 8, "He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love." Mark read about that love. It's translated charity in 1 Corinthians 13. We were talking about why did they translate it charity instead of love, and I don't really know what was in their minds, but charity is a good word for it because it has to do with the giving of self, the unconditional giving, and what that means. And, of course, what John says about God's love is that it is unconditionally given to His people, that He chose before the foundation of the world, gave us to Christ. It's not like men and women see it today in false religion. It's not God looking down through a telescope of time and foreseeing what you or I would do or choose or believe or not believe and thereby responding to us. That's not God's love. God's love is the first cause of the salvation of His people. But now, not only is God love, God is also righteous. Not only is God merciful, God is also just. Not only is God gracious, He is also true to Himself. So whenever we speak of God's love, we're not talking about a frustrated love that is expressed in a false gospel that says that God loves everybody, Christ died for everybody, and He loves you so much, and He's just waiting for you to make the right decision. And if you don't, His love is frustrated. That's not the Bible. Now, that may be modern religion, but it's not the Bible. And so God is love. But here's what the Bible teaches. And look there at 1 John 4:10 that I read at the beginning. It says, "Herein is love. Not that we love God." It's nothing to do with anything we do to get God to love us, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation. Now, what is a propitiation? Well, that's the satisfaction of God's justice against the sins of those whom He loves through a substitute, a surety, who is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible, John said it back in 1 John 2:1, that Jesus Christ is the propitiation for our sins. So God's wrath, now listen to him, in the Bible now, God's wrath never abides upon anyone He loves. Because there's a propitiation that turns back His wrath, based on not just a whim, or not even based upon a decision, but based upon justice satisfied by a person who is none other than God in human flesh, the Lord Jesus Christ. So we see God's attributes coming together under the umbrella of His love and justice. And it's His glory. So that's the love. So God is love. And God's love to His people is our salvation through Christ, who satisfied justice. Now, none of us love God by nature. None of us by nature love God. We love ourselves. We love gods of our imagination. But I'm talking about the true and living God. I told a fellow one time, he was talking about how he loved the Lord, but he didn't believe in election. I said, well, what if the Bible would tell you that God is the God of election? Would you love that God? And he said, no. I said, okay, you don't love the God of the Bible. And that's the proof of it. Now, what God does according to His love provides for His people, His children, His church, everything that His justice requires in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that includes even the new birth, even the giving of life that brings us to believe in Christ, to repent of our dead works, and to love God and love His people. And that's what this is saying. Look at verse 14 of 1 John 3. We know that we have passed from death unto life. That's the new birth. Now, if you've passed from death unto life, what's that tell you? It tells you that before you passed from death unto life, you were what? You were dead. And what kind of death is he talking about? Spiritual death. In spiritual death, that means we didn't have spiritual eyes, spiritual ears, a spiritual heart to hear and know and love and believe the things of God. But when he gives spiritual life, where does that bring? It brings us to love Christ and to love His people. Now, we don't do that perfectly. I used to not like to sing that song that we sang, Oh, How I Love Jesus, because to me at one point in time, I didn't see the whole picture, but I thought, well, that's like bragging on my love for Him. But that's not what that song is. If we have passed from death unto life, we can say, in all honesty, that we do love Christ. Now, can I say I love Him perfectly without any taint or contamination of sin and self-love? No, I can't say that. Could I stand before God and unequivocally plead my love for Him as the basis of my salvation? No. The basis of my salvation is not my love for Him. It's His love for me, founded upon the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ the righteous. Do I have anything to brag about in my love for Him? No, I don't. But what does that song say? Oh, how I love Jesus, because He first loved me. An unloving person, me. Now, when God brings us from death unto life by the power of the Spirit, gives us that life that comes from Christ, through His righteousness imputed alone. Where righteousness is imputed, life is given. Faith is given. Love is given. When God brings me from death unto life, not only does He cause me by His Spirit to love Christ, but He brings me by His Spirit to love the brethren. Now that's what John's talking about here in 1 John chapter 3. He's talking about godly love that is founded upon and centered around the truth of the gospel of God's grace in Christ. It's a mutual love for Christ as He's revealed in the gospel, and a love for His people in the gospel. Listen to what he says in verse 11 again, 1 John 3. For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Love one another. Over in 1 John chapter 2, look at verse 15. 1 John 2 and verse 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So that when he, now you think about the context there. When he says in 1 John 3:11, when he says love one another, who's he talking about? Is he talking about everybody? Well, he can't be talking about everybody. Why do you say that? Well, he says over here in 1 John 2:15, love not the world. And somebody told me one time, said, well, that's just talking about the world in general, like the trees and the rock. Well, okay, don't love the rocks and the trees. Is that what that's saying? Listen to it again. 1 John 2:15. Love not the world, neither what? The things that are in the world. He makes a distinction there. Who is the world there? That's the world of unbelievers. That's what he's talking about. Who is the one another in 1 John 3? That's the brethren in Christ. This love here is not natural to man. This love here is the gift of God that comes from Christ to those who have been born again. It's that agape love that no unbeliever has. Now, there are different kinds of love. I dealt with that last week. So here's what I want to do this morning. I want to show you a few scriptures, and I want you to know something. In the Bible, generally, you cannot talk about this love without talking about hate. Did you know that? People say, well, good night. We don't want to hear about hate, especially in this season. Well, let me tell you something. You know, people talk about this is the season of peace and love and joy. For a believer, every season is a season of peace, love, and joy. Peace with God through Christ, the Prince of Peace, based upon the blood of His cross. His righteousness is my peace with God. And if that's the same with you, we have peace with one another. Doesn't mean we're always going to get along. But it means that we're together in that area. And then that love. This is that special divine love that God sheds abroad in the hearts of His people that binds us together as brethren in the truth. Now again, it doesn't mean we'll always get along. We should. And if we don't get along, that's a shame. But we will be together forever in this love that's founded upon the truth that no unbeliever has. And that joy is the joy that comes by the Holy Spirit by bringing us to Christ. To show us that all of our salvation is safe and secure through Him and what He accomplished. That's our joy. Even in our times of sorrow, that's still our joy, isn't it? And so that's every season and all of that. But the reason that you have to see it in light of this is look at 1 John 3:12. He talks about Cain. He said, we should love one another, not like Cain, who was of that wicked one. That's the devil. And slew his brother, murdered his brother Abel. Why did he slay him? Because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. Now, how did Cain know, or how did Cain hear that his works were evil? God told him, I don't accept your offering, Cain. What was Cain's works? That was the works of his hands. Cain came to God expecting salvation, expecting blessedness, expecting to experience the love of God based on his works. God said, I reject you, Cain. Now, was that mean? No, it was just. It was justice. God cannot save us. God cannot accept us. God cannot receive us, bless us, and God cannot love us outside of Christ. If God's going to love a sinner like me, He must do it upon a proper ground that honors Him. And there's only one ground, and that's the righteousness of His Son. No other ground. I can say, God, I've done this for you, and I tried to do that for you. I went through this ritual. I went through that ceremony. None of that is a proper ground for the love of God. You say, well, love should have no proper ground. Oh, yes, it should. Yes, it should. You love your children. based upon a proper ground. What is it? They're your children. You say, well, I love all God's children. No, you don't. That just sounds good on a Hallmark card. I guarantee you, you don't love my children the way you love your children. I don't love your children the way I love mine. That's not, you see, it's a proper ground. They're mine. They're yours. They're extensions of self. That's what they are. Let's be honest in this thing. Let's not go through life fooling ourselves. You say, well, there have been people who have given their lives because they love their country. Well, what did Mark read there in 1 Corinthians 13? Though I give my body to be burned, but have not love. There are people who've given millions to charity. Well, okay, though I give everything I own away and have not love, this divine love. How did Cain hear that Abel's works were righteous? God said it. What was Abel's work? He brought the blood of the lamb. What does that mean, the blood of the lamb? That's a type, a picture, a foreshadowing, a symbol of the blood of Christ. What will those whom God loves eventually do? They will eventually come to God like Abel. But now look at verse 13. He says, marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you. Now the world somehow has in mind that the world, and that's talking about unbelievers, that the world somehow is going to recognize our love and enjoy that love and engage in that love. But here's what he says, basically. Look at verse 14. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. This is the kind of love, when expressed to the world, brings out their hatred. In other words, the world won't recognize this as being love at all. The only way the world is going to recognize it as love is if it's human love, selfish love, self-righteous love, that tells them what they want to hear, which is a lie. Now let me show you that. Turn over to John chapter 15. Now, it's not that true believers are to be hateful people at all. It's not that we're just trying to be disagreeable or get a rise out of people or make them mad. If that's your going witness scene, you've got a wrong view. But it's a love that considers first and foremost the glory of God in the salvation of sinners. Why did Cain kill Abel? Abel would not speak peace to Cain. Abel would not say, Cain, you're all right. We're brothers in Christ. No. And it brought out Cain's hatred. What is it talking about? Now listen to me. This love of the brethren means that we accept each other within the fellowship of faith. You're my brother, you're my sister in Christ. That's what it's talking about. Now there are other things about this love that we can talk about, and John talks about them later on. This hatred is not a sinful hatred that we have for the world. He says, love not the world. This hatred that we have for the world is not a sinful, selfish, self-righteous, evil hatred. It's a righteous indignation that causes us to reject them as being in the family of God. And that's the way God's love and God's hate. God accepts those who come to him in Christ. He rejects those who come any other way. But look here about the world. Now, verse 18 of John 15. He says, if the world hates you, rejects you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. It rejected Christ. If you were of the world would love his own. You tell them what they want to hear, they'll bring you right in. You'll be fine. They'll give you the key to the city. But he said, but because you're not of the world, but I've chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Look at verse 20. He says, remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they've kept my saying, they will keep yours also. Now, kept his saying. What is that? It's his word. What he's talking about is this relationship that binds believers together in this special gift of God's love through Christ. It's based upon his saying, his word. What did Christ say? Do you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you rest in him? All right, this relationship we have with the world that causes us to reject them and them to reject us, it's based upon what Christ said. It's not based on personality. It's not based on denominations. It's based upon what Christ said. It's his doctrine. It's his truth. It's his gospel. Look at verse 21. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. Verse 22. If I had not come and spoken to them, they had not had sin. But now they have no cloak, no hiding place, no covering for their sin. What did Christ do? He came into the world and he told them that which they applauded and thought recommended them unto God, that they thought what they thought made them righteous before God, he told them that it was evil, that it was unrighteous. He told them they were idolaters. He told the Jews, the unbelieving Jews, that they were idolaters. He told his disciples, look over in chapter 16 and verse 1. Listen to this. He said, these things have I spoken unto you that you should not be offended. They'll put you out of the synagogues. That's the synagogue. What was that? That was their religious gatherings. They'll throw you out. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God service. Just like Cain killed Abel. Verse 3, these things will they do in you because they have not known the Father nor me. They're worshiping a false god. You tell people today that they're worshiping a false god. What's that going to? That's just not going to be a chapter in Dale Carnegie's book, folks. How to Win Friends and Influence People. That's not going to get you the kudos of the world. But look on, this love and hate, this love is not feeling, it's not personality, it's not mutual preferences or prejudices, it's not social graces or socializing. It's not that those things are necessarily bad, but that does not define true Christian love. This love is not the love we are to promote for all people. Turn over to Mark chapter 12. Somebody said, well, aren't we supposed to love everybody? Okay, let's look at that. Mark chapter 12. Look at verse 28. If I can find it here. Mark chapter 12. Here is the Lord being approached by a man. And the man asked him a question. It says, one of the scribes, Mark 12, 28. He came, and having heard them reason together, perceiving that he had answered them well, ask him, which is the first commandment of all? In verse 29, and Jesus answered him, said, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. In verse 30, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is mainly this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these. Aren't we supposed to love everybody? Yes, but not in the same way we love our brethren in Christ. What is love? Well, it's desiring the best for people, isn't it? If I really love you, I desire the best for you. The best of health, the best of wealth, all of that. And I'll tell you something else I desire for you. I desire your salvation. I desire your salvation. Now, if I love you in that way, and desire your salvation, and let's say you're following the way of Cain, what am I going to tell you? I'm going to tell you something that to you sounds unloving to you. I'm going to tell you you're lost in your sins, and you need to stop and seek the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what you need to do. And you know why I'm telling you that? Because I do love you. I love you enough to tell you the truth. That's what it is. So yes, we're to love everybody. We're to want the best for everybody. If you had a little child who, let's say 5 or 6 years old, who came through your door holding a rattlesnake because he liked to play with it, what would you do? Would you say, well, isn't that cute? No. You take that rattlesnake away as fast as you can because you know it's going to kill him. You know what that is? That's love. But this special love that only exists between brethren tells us if you truly love someone, the worst thing you can do is promote them in a way of false religion. The worst thing that Abel could have done for his brother Cain was tell him, you're okay, peace, you're all right, when God said, you're not accepted. Love is acceptance as brethren in the Lord. It's the fellowship of faith. Look at Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12. Verse 46. Here's the Lord ministering the gospel in a household here. Verse 46 of Matthew 12. Listen to this. He said, while he yet talked to the people, behold, his mother and his brethren stood without, outside the building, desiring to speak with him. And then one said unto him, behold, thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to speak with thee. Verse 48, he answered. Christ answered and said unto him and told him, who is my mother? Who are my brethren? And he stretched forth his hand toward his disciples and said, behold, my mother and my brethren, this is my real family, he's saying, for whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and my sister and my mother. My real family, he's saying, is those who do the will of my Father. And what is the will of his Father? It's to believe on the Son, to believe on Christ and submit to him as the Lord their righteousness. Every one of us, we have earthly family members we love, don't we? And should love. Should do the best we can for them. Even sacrifice for them, especially our children, our grandchildren. Boy, don't we sacrifice for them. We all have that. But here's the thing. Who is our real spiritual, eternal family? Well, Christ said it. It's those who do the will of the Father. Brethren in the truth, brethren in Christ. Now this hatred, it's a rejection. I want to look at Luke 14. Let me show you something here. Luke 14. Now this passage is treated with different wording in Matthew and Mark. But look at the book of Luke, chapter 14. I think it's around verse 25. No, wait a minute. Luke 14. Yeah, Luke 14, verse 25. It's talking about our relationship with our earthly family. It says here in verse 25, and there went great multitudes, Luke 14, 25, with him, and he turned and said unto them, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother, and wife, and children, and brethren, and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Now that's a real cross to bear, isn't it? And those are strong words, aren't they? Hate? Doesn't the Bible say that we're to love our fathers, honor our fathers and our mothers, and love them? Yes. But he's talking about something specific here that only a true child of God can understand. No, we're not supposed to hate our fathers and our mothers with a sinful, selfish hatred like we do, like we're capable of. But here's what he's saying. That hatred is not a sinful hatred. It's a righteous rejection of those who believe not. That's what he's saying. I love my father, my earthly father. But if he doesn't do the will of my heavenly father, if he doesn't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, I hate him in that sense. I reject him in that sense of being in my spiritual family. I cannot speak peace to him. I'm going to tell him the truth. That's what he's talking about. Let me show you one other scripture. Turn to Psalm 139. And that's why he says, marvel not if the world hates you. It hated me before it hated you. It rejected him. In verse 19 of Psalm 139, listen to this. Surely thou wilt slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, you bloody men. For they speak against thee wickedly, and thine enemies take thy name in vain. These are unbelievers. Verse 21, now listen to this. Do not I hate them, Lord, that hate thee? And am I not I grieved with those that rise up against thee? I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them mine enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. You see what he's saying there? It's not a sinful hatred that desires harm, even upon our worst enemies. But it is a perfect hatred. And that doesn't mean there's any perfection in us. But here's what he's simply saying. Go back to 1 John 3 and I'll close with this. He says, verse 14, we know we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. Those who have the same father as we have. The same Savior. The same elder brother. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. If we don't receive them, those who believe now, receive them into our fellowship, that means we don't believe. Verse 15, whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. He's talking about soul murder there. He's not talking about the fact that Cain rose up and hit Abel in the head and killed him. That did happen. But he's talking about soul murder. Obviously. Because he says, whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. These are the issues of godly love. Love of the brethren, hate it. And he says in verse 16, hereby perceive we the love of God because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. That's how far it goes. And we know that it takes the grace of Almighty God to make us spiritual brethren in the Lord. And to love our neighbors, even our worst enemies, to the point that we truly desire the best for them, so much so that we will never love the world and never speak peace to the world. Because that's dishonoring to God. That's an evidence of being dead. That's what he's saying. You abide in death. Who are my brethren? Who's my mother, my father, my sister? Those who do the will of my Father. All right.